Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Songwriter said, let the glory of the Lord rise amongst us. Come on, let's give God some glory in this place today. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, on today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, praise and worship team, for creating an atmosphere of worship and praise. And I know for a fact that if you came with your mindset, no matter who's here, no matter what song is played, no matter what message is given, you've come to hear from God. You've come to lift him up. You come to bless his name. You come to exalt him. Come on, the Bible said it this way. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We didn't roll nobody in here today. So everybody that have breath, give God some praise. Give God some glory. Is he worthy or not? Of all of the praise, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you right now, Holy Lamb of God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I have two scriptures, literally. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 11 through 17, and then Psalms 30 and verse 5. Two places, should I say, that we're going to pull scriptures from. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 11 through 17, and also Psalms 30 and 5. And if you're here today and you don't have a source of the Word of God, just look right up on the screen. But everybody, please rest on your feet as we give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Allow me to please read this aloud in your hearing as you read it silently. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 11 through 17, it says, now chastening for the present seemeth, excuse me, now no chastening. Somebody say no chastening.
No chastening.
For the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. Everybody say afterward.
Afterward.
It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Somebody say, God is about healing.
God
is about healing. Verse 14 says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Then he gives us an illustration as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. 17, for ye know how that afterward, everybody say afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. In Psalms 30 and verse 5, his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Eternal God, you have gathered, you have assembled these people here live and in person. And then, Lord, you've had those stop, Lord, on YouTube, Lord, and Facebook, and, Lord, on Spotify to hear this service. Now, Lord, my prayer is that I will be found decreasing as we watch you increase in this place. For, Lord, you know exactly what we need on today. So, Lord, your servant, Lord, humbly submits that without your anointing, I'm able to do nothing. So, Lord, have your way. And if there are hearers today, live and in living color, or those that, Lord, are on live stream that have never repented of their sins, nor been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, or filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, let this be that day for them. And when all these things are said and done, we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everyone say in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, I want to invite your attention back to Psalms 30 and verse 5. And I want you to pay close attention to the latter part of it. His anger endureth but a moment. He's talking about the anger of God. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. God does get angry. But it just lasts for a moment. In his favor is life. Oh, we ought to have the favor of God in our life. But the last part is what I want you to pay close attention to. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want to minister to you from the remaining time that I have from this thought. Afterwards. Tell the person next to you, he's not talking about right now. He's talking about afterwards. God bless you. You may be seated. I know a lot of us have intentions to do things, to get things done, and we want it like right now. I'll allude to this later on, but I think in Christianity, we like to take shortcuts. We think that there's a shortcut to the blessings of God. We think there's a shortcut to having a life sustained by God. But I'm here to tell you, these things come afterwards. When we look at the word afterwards, it means later. Later on, after, at a later time. It's not the now. It's afterwards. And have you ever noticed that some of the most happiest, joyous, inspired Christians are those who have been tried? Oh, if I could give me one somebody. It's those that have been through the fire, been through the storm. They have that afterward testimony. There's no calm more deeper than that which comes after a storm. Somebody say after the storm. And often we notice it is after rain have fallen in the life of the believer that we can then witness their enthusiasm and rejoicing. The psalmist put it this way: I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My mouth is in my mouth. That praise is there, ready to be released into the atmosphere. We have to know these things come afterwards. There can be no victory without a battle. Somebody say amen. You got to go through something, baby. Neither can there be overcoming without the struggle. And somebody say, oh, Pastor, the struggle is real. But Jesus is real, too. Jesus is real. I know he is to me. It's only when you and I climb the difficult hill that can we find rest at the top. Somebody say, it's at the top we find rest. It's when you get to the top, you can look back and say, wow, I'm glad that's behind me. Brothers and sisters, there must be a valley experience. And then afterwards comes the mountaintop view. You've got to be willing to go through something. I like what Andre Crouch said in a song that he wrote called Through It All. And he said that had there not been troubles and trials, he would not know what faith in God could do. Brothers and sisters, it is not the calm waters that make you a sailor. It's when you go through the turbulent time. It's when you go through the storms of life. It's when you find yourself saying, Jesus, help me. That's when we realize what we're involved in. It's like peace, sweet, deep peace, which follows the horrible turmoil which once reigned in our tormented, guilty souls. Anybody was there with me? My life before Christ was a mess. Ooh, what you talking about? That's why I submit to you that our best days as Christians are yet before us. Do I have anybody that can say yes to that? Our best days are before us. And somebody might say, why? Somebody say, why? I'm glad you ask. Because the great God we follow is ahead of us. He's already there. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Listen, don't you know when the king ordered that the furnace should be heated up 7 times greater, and he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. Believe it or not, when they got there, there was somebody already there in the fire. How do I know? Because after a while, the king said, wait a minute. Did we not throw 3 in? He says, I see 4, and the 4th looks like the Son of Man. I submit to you that Jesus was already in there. He was in there, and the Bible puts it this way. And the fan was in his hand, cooling it off. I'm just saying. So we got to get to the place where we realize that when we go through some things, we got to understand because the great God we serve, he's already ahead of us if we follow him. And see, some of us, this is where we mess up. We try to get ahead of God. Last I looked, he was the shepherd and we're the sheep. Last time I looked, we were the clay and he was the potter. Hallelujah. And believe it or not, even so more so importantly, there's nothing too small for God. There's nothing too big or too impossible for him. Because the Bible says things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Uh-huh. And even now, we grow. Somebody say, we grow. We grow. We're growing in the grace of God. And even now, we grow rich by our losses. Mm-hmm. You don't believe me? We can grow rich by our losses. Let me just give you real quickly a man that y'all all are familiar with. In the Bible, in the book of Job, it gives the character of Job, and I think I need to read it because sometimes as I was stating to those that were in Bible study, a lot of times we are in the will of God when things happen. And then we question, man, was I really in the will of God? I couldn't have been in the will of God for that to happen. The devil is a liar. How many of you know that when Jesus sent the disciples, well, they were literally, this is the time that he was with them and he was in the boat. And the Bible said he was in the hinder part of the ship sleeping. And at that time, what happened was a great storm arose. And Jesus was sound asleep. The Bible says he was on a pillow, sound asleep. And the disciples came and said, Master, Master, care thou not that we perish? Wait a minute now. He is there with you when you're going through it. You're not going through it by yourself. You remind me of that person that was saying, now, Lord, look at this picture. In my darkest days, I'm stepping in, and all I see is two footprints, one set of footprints in the sand. He said, when I was in my darkest days, where were you at? He said, the reason why you only see one set of footprints is because I was carrying you. See, y'all have to understand that we are in a place where we got to start and remember it's afterwards that what we want will come. And I just began to say this real quickly, that Job, in the first chapter of Job, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, you know the story of Job. Had seven sons, three daughters. And after that, as Paul Harvey said, for the rest of the story, all that he had would be lost. And somebody might say, well, Job must have been sinning. All that stuff happened to him. He couldn't have been what? I just read to you what the Bible said. He was upright. He was perfect. So therefore, I'm trying to tell you that sometimes in your living for God, you can suffer persecution. I think y'all heard that today in your Sunday school class. And that persecution is not necessarily because you did a misrepresentation of your Lord and Savior. It's because you are living holy. But it doesn't negate the fact that you have to go through something. And please, I don't know. It's not from this ministry. I can guarantee you that. I never told you every day would be like Sunday. I never told you every day would be a day that you would just be. No. And so Job is a classic example. It's afterwards. You know what happened? His seven sons and three daughters were killed. But I love what the Bible says. And after all of this happened, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. See, this is when we find out what you made of. This is when we find out what you really in it for. Everything he had was gone. Now, somebody said, well, it wasn't all that much. Let me give you his substance. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. But even after losing all of that, the Bible said he worshiped. Can you imagine? I believe God said, now, Michael, Gabriel, come here, look at this. I allowed the instrument to do all of this. I allowed this to happen because I've got a greater purpose. See, some of us, we don't understand. It ain't about you, baby. It's about the person behind you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The person that comes afterwards. So now, this is what happens. Job goes through, and there are many skeptics, biblical scholars, that say it happened because of. But can I just put this out there? What if God says, you know what? And it's the truth, because he knows what's in us. You remember, was the day when all of the sons of God came before God in his presence. And then Satan came also amongst them. That's why I tell you, even when the church doors open, everybody that walked through that door ain't meaning business. Christ's business. The devil sometimes slips in. Mm-hmm. And now all of the sons of God are coming before God. All of them are making their presence known. And the Bible says that Satan was amongst them. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence cometh thou? And he said, from to and fro, going about. And see, that lets you know he's on his job. I always say this. There are two that are full time. God and Satan. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. If it's a leap year, add another day. God is on it. But even so, your adversary, which seeketh and is going to and fro as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He does that every day of the week. He sees when you're falling short in your walk with God. He sees when you cease praying. He sees when you stop fasting. He sees when you stop having a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. So he comes to God and God says, well, where you been, bro? He's not his brother. I just threw that there. Now, where you been? He said, back and forth, to and fro, and going about in the earth. And the Lord said this, have you considered my servant Job? Now, isn't that something? God is up there bragging on you. God is bragging on you that if everything I gave them, I take it away, they'll still love me. They'll still worship me. Michael, Gabriel, I want you to see. I'm putting a target on Job's back right now because I'm letting Satan know I've got me one somebody that will worship me in spite of. Then Satan says to him, did Job fear you for naught? He said, look at all what you've done for him. Look at all that he has. I guarantee you. You take it and watch what he'll do. He'll curse you and die. And then this is what the Lord told him. He said, go forth. You can put your hands on that stuff. But he's still going to worship me and serve me. And I'm just paraphrasing. You could read it. That's exactly what happens. He goes. All of that happens. Now it's gone. Satan comes back another time. The Lord says, where you been? I'm on my assignment. I'm going to and fro throughout the earth and seeing who I can devour. He said, well, have you considered my servant Job? Job again? He said, yeah, you took all of this stuff. He still worships me. He still loves me. He said, I tell you what, let me afflict his body. And believe it or not, y'all, there are some saints, because I had the privilege and honor to be at the deathbed of a saint that I'll never, ever forget. His body was infected because his bowels had locked up. All of those fluids came back in his body. Yellow jaundice, I think that's what they call it. His eyes were like yellow. He was swollen up. But as I was there with my pastor and we were praying, this is what he kept saying. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He kept repeating, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, I'm saying to you, when we understand the afterwards, we'll take a stand like that. And you know the account. Job's body now is from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, covered with boils. He's sitting in a heap of ashes, if you please, scraping. His wife looks at him and says, Job, why don't you curse God and die? He said, woman, you speak like a foolish one. Naked I came into this world, naked shall I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, I'm saying to you, the Bible is full of accounts that we could go to, but time is moving forward. But I said this and I prefaced this with Job. Now we grow rich by our losses. Do you know what happened after that? God blessed him double for his trouble. We rise by our failures. Yes, you may have fallen, but you can get up again. A righteous man falleth 7 times, but guess what he does? Pops right back up. We live by dying. Yes, we do. Because Paul said it this way, I die daily. And we become full by being emptied. Let that sink in a minute. You become full by being emptied. Every time we come into this place, we enter to worship, we exit to serve. We should be coming in here empty and being able to receive and be filled when we leave so we can go back out and distribute to the lost. And if then our grievous afflictions yield us so much peaceable fruit in this life, question. What shall we do when we get to that place called heaven? Somebody say afterwards. In our dark nights, and think about this. If our dark nights are as bright as the world's days, what shall our days be? If even our starlight is more splendid than the sun, what must our sunlight be? If we can sing in the dungeon of life, anybody ever been there? That's that dark place. That's that place where you be wondering why and how did I get here? Remember Paul and Silas? How did they get there? By what they always did, praise God. And even at midnight, the Bible said they were praising God in the dungeon. How much sweeter will we be able to sing when we get into heaven? If we can praise the Lord in the fires of life, how will we in his presence extol him before the eternal throne? I don't know, a lot of times we talk about when I get to heaven, all what I'm going to do. Y'all, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be happy to be here. I'm going to be happy. But guess what? God is going to be the one that at that moment says to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Now, somebody say afterwards. Oh, my soul, let patience have her perfect work. Right now, God is working on somebody. That's why you have gone through all that you've been through. And somebody says it's been some years now. But it's for God's glory. It's for God's purpose. It's that God at the end, you will understand that it was all about afterwards. These things are coming to you. Not now. See, if you could have taken a shortcut, you would have been there already. Where you wanted to be, how you wanted to be. What you wanted to drive, what you wanted to wear, what you wanted to live in. But God is saying, mm-mm. Got to go through something. So let patience have her perfect work. And in my closing, I want to invite you to a scripture in 2 Corinthians 4 and 17. And let me read it from the Amplified Version. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17, it says, for our light momentary afflictions. Wow. God says, you know, I know you think you're going through a lot, but it ain't all that. It's just a light momentary affliction. This slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly prepared and produced and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, exceedingly surpassing all comprehension and all calculation a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. Wow! Just for the little trial, just for the little tribulation you're going through right now. Our days and years of trials are nothing compared to the eternity of the bliss that awaits us. Somebody say, afterwards.
Afterwards.
Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, it would behoove us then to live every waking moment of our life with eternal value. Let me go back real quickly, because what happened to Esau was this. He was in line for the birthright. He was the oldest child. Biblical times dictated that if you were the oldest, that all went to you. You remember the account, him and his brother, Jacob. Jacob, he said he stole his birthright, but he didn't. He gave it to him. You remember that account? Here he is. Esau is the hunter. He's the man of the field. He's coming back after hunting, and he is tired and hungry at that. He walks in, and here it hits his nostrils. Good. Good. Bro, what you got, it smells good. He said, man, I got some porridge. He said, you want it? He said, yeah. He said, well, sell me your birthright. Now, the Bible said that Esau was a profane man, meaning he took the carnal things and put them over spiritual things. He took the sacred things and devalued them like they were nothing. He said this, what meaneth thou the birthright to me? In other words, I can't wait. I gotta have it now. See, that's the problem. Many of us, we want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it, and we want it now. He said, man, give me that. And the Bible said that he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He devalued it. It meant nothing to him. But as we close, this is what it said. And you need to understand in the 17th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. For we know how that afterward, somebody say afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing. See, it comes, talk back to me. It comes not before. You can't get it because it's not time yet. God has an impeccable timing. He knows when he's going to do it, how he's going to do it, where he's going to do it, and who he's going to do it through. And he said, for ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Why was he rejected? Because he devalued the worth of the birthright. He was rejected. Rejected by who? By God. When it says this, he found no place of repentance, that simply means that there was no more chances for him. Because he had shown what his priority in life was. It wasn't seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things should be added unto him. His thing was flesh needs to be satisfied. So there was no place of repentance. And this is what gets me. Though he sought it carefully with tears. He was crying, y'all. Bitter tears. But you know, it kind of reminds me of people that get caught. They're not crying because of what happened. They're crying because they got caught. And now they have to suffer the consequences. So in my closing, let me say this to you, and I hope that you receive it. It will behoove all of us to live our life with eternity's values in view. Life takes on new meaning when we see it through God's eyes. Can I get you to stand? A while. You've been praying, maybe even fasting, and you want God to respond. But the scripture says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We have this propensity as human finite beings to want to get ahead of God. We want to take shortcuts. We don't want to wait for the afterwards. We want things right now. But don't you know God knows if you were to have it right now, how you act up, how you would be. So he took you through something that when you finally get your, oh, y'all ain't working with the brother this morning. After you get your, you would appreciate it. You would appreciate it. Some of you are going to have children and have children, and pretty soon they're going to be of driving age, and they're going to want you to get them that car. And you know who you are. You know you're going to break down because they got you like that. You wrapped. And so when you get them the car, they have this what we call lead foot. They'll gun it, doing wheelies. Man, burn them tires up in no time. And then they come back and say, hey, Dad, Mom, I need a new set of tires. I'm trying to help you right now how to work with them. Then what you do is say, oh, what? You know what? That you're right. That needs some new tires. You buy them. I guarantee you. They will be driving the speed limit. They say donut who? They not putting no more wheelies out there. You know why? Because they understand the value of afterwards. With every head bowed and all eyes closed. Eternal God, we are grateful that you have been merciful to us. We don't deserve it. Not one of us do. But it's Lord Jesus been deposited in our account this morning. Your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness toward us. Now, Lord, help us as we are assembled here to, Lord, take this message to heart and ask ourselves, am I a profane person as Esau? Is my priorities about me, and more me? Or am I really, God, desiring, Lord, to win people to Christ? Now, with every head bowed and all eyes closed, I hope that you would, if not coming down to the altar, but maybe at your seat, just contemplate this. From here on out, God, I'm going to view life through the eyes of you. I'm going to put the value where it ought to be. In the 24 hours in a day that you give me, Lord, you're least needing to take 2 hours and 40 minutes back in time of prayer, reading, meditating, praising. It belongs to you, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be that person, God, that waits for the afterwards. The altars have always been open. If you want to, you're willing. If you're willing, you can come. We will anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord and the prayer of faith. Oh, thank God for praying people that have faith. God bless these that are coming. Just as you are. I mean, just come. You know where you are. And most of all, God knows where you are. And he wants to meet you right there in the name of Jesus. Now, as these are being anointed with oil, Facebook, YouTube, I'm addressing you right now. Afterwards, What God has for you is coming afterwards. It's through your going through. Afterwards, God has something for you. It's through your rainy days that God has something for you. It's afterwards. Please, sir, ma'am, wherever you are, find a place and pray.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive. And with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.